Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Joey Quesada. You're listening to Tom and Zeus on Shout It Out Loudcast. If you want to hear two idiots with Boston accents talk about Kiss, you've definitely come to the right place.
Greetings and salutations. Welcome to the Shout It Out Loudcast. Don't turn your radio dial. You're in the right place because it's time for another bonus episode. Episode 11. We're calling this one Get Some Aspirin, Motrin, Xanax, maybe all three, because we are reviewing the reviews that we already reviewed with a bunch of numbers. Tommy and Zeus, how are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. You got to love the number crunching here. People love it. The people love it, right, Zeus?
The crowd seems to love it.
The crowd seems to love this.
I'm just excited because we have Sonny on twice in a week.
I know. My God. And you know what? You know why else I'm excited? Because I'm sitting in my brand new chair. And do you know why I had to get a new chair?
Because you broke the last one?
No. Close.
Because you have a wonderful ass?
No.
Yeah, because you have a wonderful little muffin ass.
Because she says I have a wonderful muffin ass.
It's that, too. It's because my old chair couldn't handle me sitting in it for 6 fucking hours when the three of us record. So I had to upgrade to something way more comfortable. If I'm like, I needed something like an airplane cockpit, because I'm like, when I sit down with Zeus and Sonny, it's going to be 3-4 hours. This Dollar General office chair ain't going to work anymore. I had to upgrade, so I'm nice and comfy now, so I don't care how long we go today.
Oh, boy.
Oh, well, that being said, gentlemen, nice to see you guys. It's a number crunching episode, which we'll try to make it as little boring as possible. I don't know if that was proper English, but fuck it. It's early on Sunday morning. But as usual, we go back to our previous episode, and as we discussed, I think we got more feedback on Jar of Flies than any fucking episode we've ever got. As we then corrected ourselves, as we told Sonny this, we didn't say it was positive.
We just said it was feedback.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, Sonny, want to kind of lead us off? What kind of stuff did we get on Facebook?
I'm doing Twitter, but that's okay.
Oh.
You know, we're live, right?
Why don't you tell us how we did on MySpace?
All right. So the MySpace comments today. I Love It Louder said, great album. Awesome voices from Lane and Jerry. Save Rock and Metal said, you picked the wrong host from Grown Up Rock for this specific review. I didn't pre-read any of these. Steven is more open to albums of a different genre. Pooney is sometimes stuck in 1987. I do have to agree, though, that Rotten Apple sucks.
Thanks. Oh,
save rock and metal. And 87 was a great year. That was the year I turned 17.
Oh, boy.
The Hook Rock said both are friends of the show. Oh, well, yeah. Thanks.
Well, listen, before you move on, can we stop for a second here?
Yeah.
Any comments? No one. We're just going to leave that someone wrote Pooney is stuck in 1987. We're just going to leave that there. We're not going to jump all over that, Tom.
Oh, I it's too easy. It's low hanging fruit. Everybody knows that. I mean, we could pile on, but you know, we know that. But you know,
it's not that he's stuck in 1987. It's that he takes 1987 afterwards, blocks that time until about 2010, and then he likes all this new fucking shit. Everything in the middle is gone.
See, I'm hesitant to jump on anybody being stuck at a certain age, you know, date range, because people are going to accuse me and you of that. With like, oh, Alice in Chains sucks, grunge sucks. Yep. You guys are stuck.
I stopped about 95, 96.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Right, right, exactly. like your newest album is like a remaster of like, you know, Waylon Jennings, like, so I mean, like,
oh, sorry, Tom, I don't have fucking Powerwolf,
pirate metal,
whatever Steve from Potter Than Hell recommends these days.
What, the Curse of the Coconut Monster, or whatever the hell that thing was?
What is that album again?
I have no idea. The is curse, that Storm? Like,
the curse.
Oh yeah, that's Ale Storm, which on its face is a horrific name for a band, considering there's a popular band called Hailstorm with an H. But anyways, keep going, Sonny.
Sorry. All right. So Ranch Hand Joey said, I'm not a big AIC or grunge fan, and other than No Excuses, I wasn't familiar with any of the tunes. Not really my thing, but I can appreciate the passion you have for it. Can't wait till the next one. Gotta go with Hollywood's Take. Yeah, Ranch Hand, there you go.
You know Murph who said, Ranch Hand is?
No.
No.
Yeah. Ranch Hand is Donna Chang is Sexy.
They changed
I see that.
What?
Oh, they changed
your
name?
Why did you change your name, Sonny?
Yeah, right. Yeah, fucking Joey?
Yeah, Sonny, why did you change your burner account?
I got a feeling this might be Casada. I think you're going up wrong.
Maybe. Yeah. Joe Casada? Is that why we get all these? Oh, when are you guys going to have Joey Casada
there
back?
You go, see?
To talk
see?
About his book.
It's all a conspiracy right there.
Oh, my God.
Murph said, I have a sudden urge to play NBA Jam on Sega. I love that.
Yes.
Yeah,
I love that. He's on fire.
Mark Ain't John. It's hard to believe that these guys graduated. Or maybe they didn't. I guess technically we don't know. We don't know. Sorry to say, but Jar of Fries is overrated. Great episode, terrible album. There you go. Tom Duss said, I've just tuned my wireless into the show. Looking forward to this one. Okay. Okay. Wesley Beach, never been a fan of Alice in Chains, but did see them open for Kiss at the Tiger Stadium reunion show, and Layne Staley was entertaining.
Nice.
Alice in Chains only ended up doing like 3 shows with them, right?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. And which is Layne a weird which is a weird combo, but yeah. That, you know, good for the audience.
And then Steve said, not my thing, just wanted to put every song equal 7th. I don't know what that means. Going back to listen to Carrie, he had no excuses first and Rotten Apple last. And then Steve sent some album rankings. He had Slide It In first and Super Unknown last.
There
you go.
Big fan of the grunge era, are you there, Steve?
I know, huh?
Yeah, Steve stuck in 1987, too.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, if you're going to go grunge, you would say that Sonny's stuck up until about 91.
Yeah, right? I would say that's accurate.
Yeah,
I would say I'm stuck about 91, and then I flipped to about 2009. Like, from 2009, I basically didn't listen to anything, except for Top 40. Like, I love the boy bands, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, love all that shit. I just got away from the metal.
And you want to make fun of me for liking country music.
There's nothing wrong with the boy
band. Into NSYNC and all that shit.
Bye, bye, bye. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, turn off that. That is an image I don't want to see.
I don't make fun of anybody because I love Britney Spears and I've seen her in concert. So I don't make fun of it. Whatever you like, go with it. Love is love. Isn't that what they say out there? Love is love. Go with it.
Listen, you like Britney Spears? Yeah. And if Britney Spears looked like the fat chick from Wilson Phillips, you would not be liking Britney Spears.
That's correct. That's correct. Because when I listen to her music, I picture what she looks like singing it. So
exactly.
I agree with that. I agree. If she looked like fat Ann Wilson, I would not be listening to it.
He's at the show going, wait a second. There's no mute here.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't listening to I had earplugs in. I was just like, oh.
Yeah, if Britney Spears is doing Oops, I Did It Again, walking down a California fucking beach in a long overcoat to overshadow her girth, I don't think you'd be like, yeah, I'm buying this CD.
Probably not. That's correct. I admit that. I'm not lying. He ain't lying. He ain't lying.
All right. That was all of Twitter.
Thank you.
Okay.
Podchaser. Aces High 779. Carrie Stevens to Hollywood. What a letdown.
See, on, you guys jacked me on that. I said it on the episode. You guys jacked me on that.
Well, we're making up for it now by having you back-to-back. Shout It Out Loudcast and Shout It Out Loudcast bonus. Back-to-back, baby.
But I want to make it known that they talked to Kerry last night and she wouldn't come on. That's why I'm on this thing.
That is true. That's also true.
Yeah, in my dreams. Here we go. We're going to Facebook because I think Sonny just did Twitter, right?
Right.
All right. Daniel Peoples, first of all, without you saying it, I'm not sure they would have realized these bonus episodes were once a month. Attaboy. They're always nice surprises. I'm not sure I ever realized Cantrell sang as much as he did with Lane in the band, at least after facelift anyway. It's not my preferred AIC. Lane Staley has one of the best, coolest voices in rock, but the dual vocals on Don't Follow is perfection. Their joint vocals elsewhere are cool as well. Cantrell on his own just doesn't do it for me, at least on his solo stuff. It's a phenomenal EP, but starts off with the most depressing 1-2 punch I can think of.
True.
But once that's out of the way, woo, there is some high-level stuff, mainly the four songs excluding the instrumental. Come on, we're getting an EP, and you throw that out there? Yeah, but 7 songs to me is more than you would expect on an EP. So I don't, you know, that's just
me. Yeah, EPs are usually like maybe 4 or 5, but 7 songs. Yeah, you take it. And they're all full-length songs. So
I don't know how many other EPs I have other than 100 Miles and Running.
Oh, there you go. NWA. Bonus episode, perhaps.
Yep. There you go. It's better than Waylon Jennings.
Oh, ooh, come on. I like Waylon Jennings, too. I like that outlaw country shit.
Just a good old boy.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Get out of here with. I never could understand why Don't Follow wasn't huge. Was it too ballady for alternative radio? No excuses, and I Stay were all over local radio. I don't even remember hearing Don't Follow. I always compare to GNR's Patience, the slow build to when it kicks in. I don't think I'm ever ready to sing along to the part that I am in the second half of Don't Follow. I'm glad talked about the vinyl, including Sap. Now I'll definitely seek that out. All he has Rankins, Don't Follow number 1, Rotten Apple number 2 on the bottom. Great one. Nope. Thanks, Daniel. That was awesome. And then he later on sent a photo and he said, true to my word. And he got it, Tom.
Nice. Awesome. Enjoy. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
it's great. And you're getting, like you said, you're getting 2 albums because speaking of Alice in Chains, Sap, they're actually re-releasing that on its own for Record Store Day coming up. But if you already own Jar of Flies, then you already own Sap.
Yeah, go listen to Right Turn, my favorite probably track of theirs of all time. It's on Sap. Awesome. Brother, there's so many great songs there. Kevin Jepsen, amazing album. I understand the emotional bond you guys have to this. I'm the same way. It's a cold winter, dreary record for me, but I can listen anytime. Here's my list. He had Swing On This, a 7, Nutshell, number 1. All great songs to pick up the acoustic and play. I can't tell you how much like Alice in Chains fan pages and stuff like that. How many people love Nutshell over?
That's all. I love it. It's depressing as shit, but I love it. Yeah.
I can't believe how much of how much love it has.
Yeah.
Mark Arnold. I'm not a big AIC or grunge fan. Other than No Excuses, I wasn't familiar with any of the tunes. You guys hyped it up, so I gave it a listen. Not really my thing. But I can appreciate the passion you guys can have for it. Can't wait till the next one. Adam Nickmeyer. Even though the subject is grunge trash, it's still a good lawnmower cast. And he's got a picture of him on his fucking riding lawnmower cutting his grass. Thanks, Adam.
That's awesome.
Graham Richley. Love your passion. In fact, you guys might almost be too close to this album to review it.
Impossible.
I've never heard it before. And after that, I never want to hear it again. But agree wholeheartedly that it depends on how old you are and what you were doing at the time. Makes you wonder how many people of us like us agree on so many other albums. I enjoy you, Kiss, exposing me to new stuff. Love these bonus episodes.
Okay. Yeah, if that's the first Alice in Chains, let's say you've never heard Alice at all.
Yeah.
And the first album you put on is Jar of Flies, and you're a melodic rock guy.
Not a good
know if you give Alice any other chance.
I agree. But, oh yeah, it's not an introductory album.
Yeah.
No, but it's you know, if you follow the band, you would know what to expect. If you go right. from Facelift to Sap,
yeah, if you
Dirt, and right. then they go to this, you'd kind of get what they're doing. It's kind of like saying to somebody, "Hey, you never heard of Led Zeppelin? Listen to Led Zeppelin 3. And then all of a sudden, right. you're like, "You know, you might love it." But then when you listen to all those Zeppelin, you're like, "This isn't really the same band." Yeah. Or
yeah, exactly,
you know, it might not be your cup of tea. And then Adam once again put a when you see a new SIO cast. But then you realize they'll be talking about grunge, and it's a fucking gif of Kanye laughing, then getting all like kind of angry here.
I saw that. Yeah.
Sean McNair, Alice in Chains. Oh, heck yeah. Steve, meh, right? A few decent songs on it.
Yeah, David, I think that's him Zanet, being kind.
Yeah. David Zanet, masterpiece. Yeah. Spencer Wetmore, haunting. And nice. That's what I've got from Facebook.
All right. So we got a lot of emails here. You're going to try to fly through some of them, because again, the feedback was fast and furious and passionate, and we love that. So our good friend Tony Smith brings back the shit sandwich. Zeus, you won't call it a shit sandwich? Okay, I will, with a monster turd olive toothpick on top. My overall rating? Jar of flies, I'd rather watch flies fuck. Okay, I'm better now. Thank you, Tony, for your honesty, as always.
Wow. All right.
Craig Keith. He's got a long email here. I'm going to try to sum it up. He said, like Sonny, I bought this album when it first came out. I stay away and no excuses. Didn't really care for the rest. Album had been collecting dust for 20 years. When I found out this was the next review, I immediately put it on and gave it a listen. Holy crap. What a difference 2 decades makes. This EP is so good. Thanks for the pick, Tom. One last thing, the whining in some of these songs is nothing like Ozzy. Those vocals come from a place of genuine hurt and actual despair, in my opinion. Ozzy sounds like some spoiled degenerate in diapers. He sucks.
Wow.
By the way, for people interested, Craig Keith, that's Deuce of yes. Twitter fame. What else do we got for emails here? We got Jerry Blackwell. I'm sorry, guys, but this album is just not good. I like how he starts off with an apology. I can't believe that you guys were praising any of the songs. The only one I can stomach is No Excuses. Now, I will say, you guys are still a great listen, even though the music you were talking about is not my cup of tea. Now, let's get back to Dungeons and Dragons metal. No, not happening. And then we got our buddy Murph.
Oh, wait, before you get into Murph's, let's save that for last.
Okay.
I know Sonny had one he was going to read.
Okay. Teddy Barnes, yuck in all aspects, but I love you guys. Doug Middleton, I'm not in love with the album, but I am in love with the conversation you three have during these bonus episodes. Normally, my opinions match more with Sonny, but I can see the points that both Tommy and Zeus make. I normally have to wait to listen to the episodes because I end up laughing out loud and people around me look at me weird. Okay, I like that. And then this might be my favorite email. This is Maddie. We just got this one. He goes, oh no, Jar of Flies makes 10. Does this mean we're going to get a 10 album review episode that is going to make everyone's head hurt with numbers we can't see but have to somehow keep up with? I'd rather listen to dinosaur songs on loop. That's the best email. That's Oops. The best one. All right. So before we get to Murph, Sonny, I think you have an email, and then we'll save Murph's for last.
Yeah. So from Ryan M. Paw, Tommy, episodes of Alice in Chains, Jar of Flies was maybe the best episode you guys have done. And that is saying something.
Wow.
Being a 90s kid, grunge resonates with me more, but also the way you both described the songs and the awesome memories you guys shared were dead on accurate and brought me back to my own memories. Like Zeus, it also gave me chills. Lane and Jerry's voices are haunting and hypnotizing. I can put on Alice in Chains and thoroughly enjoy their albums. Great episodes. Will you guys do a Pearl Jam episode? No. Also, happy 33rd birthday to my favorite 80s Kiss album, Crazy Nights.
Oh, God, save that. Oh, boy. And Zeus,
not bad. I like Crazy
Nights. No, I know. Zeus, you got one too, and then we'll save Murph.
You know, you're going to leave him to say no for Pearl Jam?
I'm Nobody can stop anything. Anybody can pick whatever they want, as the next bonus episode will prove.
Oh, fuck yes.
Nothing is banned. Nothing is banned. So
you're banned.
You're banned.
CDs with the red inside? These aren't for you. All right. This one is from Sean DeHaan. Hi, Zeus and Tom. Fantastic episode. Like you guys, Alan Should Change is a special band to me. I had the good fortune to see them live many times in 88 and 89.
Fuck. Wow.
I can never consider them a grunge band. Metal for sure. More appropriate maybe that they're simply just a rock band, period. Their metal sound is still fully burned into my brain. I also worked for them when they came up to Vancouver area in this era, as they couldn't afford to bring their own crew up. My last show with them was in Vancouver just after Facelift came out. You really need to search publisher demos on YouTube. Some compiled all the demos from this era. There's also a fair bit of video from this era on YouTube, the best being Pullman, Washington, 89.
Wow. Okay.
Anyway, I could not agree more. The vocal harmonies are a very integral part of their sound. Fast songs, slow songs, acoustic songs, it doesn't matter. So unique. Absolute killer. Can't agree more. The way Jerry plays acoustic guitar or electric, trying to emulate acoustic sounds, is a huge part of many of their songs. Again, very unique. Anyways, great episode. Keep it going, Sean.
Nice. That's what I love about this the feedback for this particular album. You get emails like Sean's there, and then you get emails where people call it a shit sandwich with an olive on top. So, you know, I don't think any other album review we've done has been that way. So, all right. So I'm going to read Murph's email. I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit and get to the, as Paul would say, get to the good stuff. So he says, while there are albums from this period that overall I may rate higher, there is no album from our college years that I personally connect to more than Jar of Flies. Hearing a song can take you back to a moment, maybe even a feeling, but for an entire album to do both is rare indeed. To the points of Tom and Zeus mentioned, not only does this album take me back to spring of 94, but it brings me back to moments we and our friends were absolutely savoring because, one, we could see graduation in the not-too-distant future, and two, somehow we sort of sensed that we were going to fuck up a good thing with our current living arrangements.
Which we did.
The first year of college, it was sensory overload and everything was new. By the time we hit junior year, we had identified and connected with those that were going to be the key individuals for the duration of our college experience. That peak was spring of 94. And to have an album that not only received continuous play, but was associated with so many specific events and memories makes it all the more special. Thanks for the review, making me want to have a Bud Ice. Oh, man.
Wow. Bud Ice?
That's old school. We used to drink that shit. All that Molson Ice, Bud Ice, all that stuff was at its peak in the 90s, mid 90s.
Yeah.
But Murph, my friend, that is a great email. And that's pretty much why Zeus and I were gushing over the album. So so those are the emails. And then real quick, I want to read a couple of DMs that we got.
Before you move on, though, Tom.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So one of the things in college back then, Sonny.
Yeah.
Bud Ice and things in Molson Ice. Because you're dirt broke, you're in college, we realized that they started releasing that 5% alcohol per beer. Mm-hmm. And to us, that's like, oh, more alcohol in you know, the cheaper price. Let's get there. You'll get fucked up more on Molson Ice than a 30-pack of, you know, Bud Light, which was the drink of choice. By the time we were graduating, we were at splitting a 30-pack in a bottle of Boone's with a friend.
Oh, yeah.
Two people. And that was, like, normal.
Yep.
Normal. Probably three times a week doing that shit.
I used to call Molson Ice the blackout beer. Because we would drink it the way that you would drink a Bud Light. And Bud Light has, like, maybe 4%.
No, and Molson, less than that.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm saying, maybe. And then Molson Ice had 5. So you're drinking it at the same rate as a Bud Light, but you're getting yourself like 10% more shit-faced faster, and you don't even realize it until you wake up and you're like, what the fuck? Where am I? Like, it was the blackout beer.
Yeah, Sonny. On the West Coast, while that was going on, you didn't see, you know, people were drinking Bud Ice and Molson Ice every once in a while, but the Mexican beers were getting hot here. Right. Holy. So Corona was on fire. Corona Light had come on. Tecate, which Dos Equis. You might not have had Dos Equis. Yeah. Yep. So So those beers were getting big here because we're closer to Mexico, right?
Well, not. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we're technically closer to Mexico. But I found out early that, forget all that, just go for the gallon of charcoal filtered vodka that's on the bottom shelf. It's just as much as a 30 pack and get you there way quicker.
Oh yeah, but no, but you can't, but you're passed out with like 40 minutes into the night.
And?
Okay. Okay.
And your friends are pissing on you in the corner while you're drunk.
Oh my God. All right. A couple DMs here. Shane Paisley. Hello. I have to chime in on the podcast showcasing one of my all time favorite AIC albums, if not one of my favorite albums of all time. I love this for many of the same reasons you guys do. College memories. Man, every time I hear this album, I snap right back to 1994 and what I was doing. Love the podcast. Keep up the good work. And then he goes, ah, na, 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 like the song that you guys both hate. Now we got Corey Simpson. I just finished Jar of Flies, another amazing podcast. And Cobra Kai, no words. Fucking hilarious. We love the series as well. And we're all for Johnny. Save it because I haven't finished the series yet. Billy Thomas, listen to the Jar of Flies today. Your guys' passion for this album blew me away. I was never a grunge alternative music fan. I'm a child of the 80s, but I forgot how many great songs are on this album. Thank you for sharing your memories of it that you love. I have the same feelings of albums that I love that take you back to a special time in life. Thank you for being real. Always make me smile. Zeus, best laugh ever. Ooh. And that is Jar of Flies feedback. Thank you, everybody. A lot of passion on both ends of the spectrum for that album. So that was great. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yep.
Now, ready to make your heads explode? So, like we did with our Kiss when we got to 10 episodes.
Wait, hold on. Before our heads explode, you might want to visit a particular website that might make something else explode. Am I right?
Why don't you go fuck yourself, Tom?
Exactly.
And if you're going to go fuck yourself,
Sonny,
and I actually fucked things up, so I'm going to go get fucked too.
Exactly.
So we both need to do this then.
Sonny, where can we go if we want to get fucked?
Well, I'm not sure about that, but AdamandEve.com have some products. Tommy doesn't know where they all get inserted, but they have products that are questionable on where they're to be inserted. And, you know, if you and your special one need something to spice life up a little bit, AdamandEve.com with promo code LOUDCAST can get you pretty much anything you want. You can get movies. You can get lube. I guess you can go fuck yourself if you really want to.
They have some nice swing sets in there, too, if you're into that as well. So,
do you know where that gets inserted?
I do know where that goes. Yes, yes. Yes, I'm familiar with that. I don't have one of those yet, although I do have a place in this room behind me. I could probably set one up, but we'll see. Maybe I'll start with maybe the 6 free spicy movies first, and then maybe move on to the the swing set. We'll see.
Yes, a spicy gift for her, a spicy gift for him, or if you're Vinnie Vincent, they work for you both.
Oh boy, here we go. That's it.
Ugh. Anyway, promo code LOUDCAST. So, let's move on. And today we're at the point where we hit 10 episodes. And when we do 10 episodes, the statistician geeks like us that love this shit come out and put the hats on. And we start looking at how we ranked everything and compared them. Tom's ranking versus Sunday's versus mine, the combined, the cumulative, what we ranked as the best albums, album covers. And then we actually ranked from those 10 albums, 105 songs.
Ooh.
Yeah. Lots of fun there.
Yikes.
And we broke it down. I color coded everything, try to make it what I call idiot proof, but some of us still didn't get it. So I've got to work on my idiot proofing. And we're at the point now that anytime we see a song or we do an album, everything is like the my favorite part, Tom and Sonny, I jump to is like, okay, who's going to rank this? Who's going to fuck this up?
Yep.
My money's on Sonny. He's going to fucking put this on the bottom.
Yep.
He's definitely putting us. And then what ends up happening is I'm more in line with Sonny than Tom. And it's sometimes I'm on Sonny's team, sometimes I'm on Tom. Sometimes I'm the only asshole by himself.
Exactly.
It's a lot of fun. And yep. What makes this show, the bonus stuff, sometimes even more light than our Kiss show, is that we all have strong opinions and they're very different. We don't know where we're going to go 1 week. And there's nothing worse than having a show where, yeah, that's awesome. Do you like the Beatles, Tom?
No, actually, I don't. I hate them.
Okay, watch this. Sonny, do you like the Beatles?
No, I don't. I think they're overrated.
Same here. So maybe we are.
There you go.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Yeah,
but you guys get the point.
No, I know.
Anyway, so we're at the 10 album mark, and we put all this stuff together. Before we start getting into it, anything you want to add first, Sonny?
Yeah, as a looking at these 105 songs, what jumps out is that when it's shit, we agree.
Mm-hmm.
What is good, we know agree.
You know agree.
No, it's true, and it's kind of similar to when Zeus and I did this for the Kiss album, the 10 album review. The top and the bottom are pretty agreed upon, but when you get into that middle, that's when it's like, how do you have this song 35th? I have that song ranked 98th or what? You know what I mean? And I think that's what makes this interesting. So now there's going to be a lot to sort out here. This is going to be fun.
Absolutely. So let's start breaking this down. Before we get into albums, let's start ranking these songs.
Okay.
And so obviously let's tell everybody, if they don't remember, we reviewed Appetite for Destruction from Guns N' Roses, Slide It In from Whitesnake, OU812 from Van Halen, Super Unknown from Soundgarden, Pyromania from Def Leppard, Load from Metallica, Peace of Mind from Iron Maiden, Bon Jovi debut, Blizzard of Oz from Ozzy, and Jar of Flies from Alice in Chains. So with that, it came out to 105 songs. We do you want to start off positive or negative?
Let's start off. Let's start off negative. Well, you asked. You asked.
Okay. Zeus, your rankings are shit.
No, oh,
yeah. You didn't mean that.
Oh no. I'm talking like the worst 20 songs that we ranked on this.
Go ahead.
So it turns out we'll go from 85 to 105, right?
Okay.
Or is it 86 to 105?
I think it's 86 to 105. Yeah, 86.
Okay.
Yep.
So 86 was Jar of Flies, Rotten Apple. Then he
read
goes,
the, read these. Read the. Can you read the individual rankings on this? Do you want to do that yet or no?
Rotten Apple. Tom had this at 29. Then me and Son, I had it at 89, and Sonny had it at 100.
That is,
I'm sad for you.
No, this is the kind of stuff that entertains me, is that I had it at 29 and you had it at 100. I love that.
Oh, no. We're getting there.
Oh, I know we are. Keep going.
Loads, Wasting My Hate at 87. That was pretty universal cross.
Yeah.
Blizzard of Oz, Goodbye to Romance. Peace of Mind, Revelations.
Go ahead, Tom. No, I was just going to say, Goodbye to Romance. Zeus is the one that kind of kept that from being even lower.
Yeah, I had it at 44.
Yeah, you lifted that up.
It's my favorite album, so I just put it in the middle of the pack, I felt.
Yep.
Peace of Mind, Revelations at 89. 90 was Super Unknown's Mailmen.
We were almost dead even on that one. It's 81, 81, 76.
Surprising, yeah.
Yeah.
And another surprising one, because when I think about it, I don't know why I have it so low. 91 was Peace of Mind's Where Eagles Dare. People are not going to be happy with us that we have this that low. And that
I
is,
had it at 70.
Yeah,
I'm surprised. I thought this would be another song where Sonny would kind of lift it up. I figured, I mean, I had it at 92. Zeus had it at 80. But
yeah,
it's tough because, you know, okay, it's a great song, but then you're comparing it against songs from Slide It In and Pyromania and Appetite. It's like, it's a good song, but it doesn't compare with that stuff.
We're going to get to
it. Yeah, because if you have something that is like meaning to you, you're just going to skip over it. And these are albums that we've picked. Chances are you've picked it or the three of us picked it. So there are songs from albums that we all like.
Yep.
So then at 92, Source of Infection.
I love this song.
From Van Halen, OU812. Tom has it at 42.
Yes, I love this song.
I had it in 97 and Sonny at 105.
So here's my comment on that. I got two comments for you. One, a fat guy tells you a dessert tastes good, you might want to believe him. Two, a Sammy Hagar fan tells you a song is shit, the song is shit.
And what happens when a Sammy Hagar and Van Halen fan tells you the song is good? You don't believe that person?
No.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
93, Super Unknown's Fresh Tendrils. Tommy had it at 52.
It's one of my favorite songs off the album.
I had it 98, Tom, Sonny 95. Loads, Ronnie, 87, 86, 72. That was at 94. At 95, Swing on This by Alice in Chains. 96, Super Unknown's Kickstand. Then you got two Metallicas in a row, 97, 98. Poor Twisted Me and Mama Said. And then the instrumental, which is kind of easy, like 99D on Blizzard of Oz. Then 100, Super Unknown's Head Down. Loads at 101, The House That Jack Built. 94, 94, 98. That's pretty good.
Yep.
And then we're going for Dungeons and Dragons duplicate here. 102, Quest for Fire at 104, 101, 85. Then at 103, To Tame a Land at 101, 103, 88. And then 104, A Political Blues. Look at this ranking. Tommy had it at 103 out of 105. I had it at 104. And Sonny had it at 104.
Yep.
And that is still not the worst ranked song.
Still not the worst one.
At 105, I don't know what the fuck half is on Soundgarden and Super Unknown. With the combined average of 104, I had it dead last. Tommy had it dead last. Sonny had it 102. Which leads me to go, these are songs that that Sonny thinks are worse than half.
I'm glad you're doing this, Zeus, because I was just going to jump in and say, please expose Sonny for three of the songs he thinks are worse than half.
No problem.
Number one, the biggest discrepancy in this whole fucking thing, he put my favorite song on my favorite album.
Unbelievable.
Revelation Mother Earth,
yep,
which is my favorite guitar solo, at 103. Are you fucking kidding me?
That is fantastic. No. Zeus has that at number seven, and that's Sonny has it at 103.
That is a 96-point difference. There is nothing that's going to be worse than that. How can you just explain that?
The song sucks.
The last 103,
minute
though?
Of the song is good. The rest of it's complete shit.
It okay. And half is better than that?
And it's half the length.
Oh, okay. So you're penalizing it because you don't like it and it's long.
For wasting my time.
But I'm even the guitar but the guitar solo, that doesn't even salvage any of it for you?
That actually makes me more mad because you wasted my time when you could have just put this 1 minute long and just done the guitar solo. Oh, I get even more mad.
You are okay. A miserable fuck.
That's like, that's like the Cowboys losing and then at the end, Dak throwing a touchdown to jack up my bet because now they didn't cover.
Okay. Okay. That pisses you off more than them losing 100-0.
I'd rather have them 100-0 and I win my bet. Then
but you're not
the
winning
spread
anything.
96, and they scored a touchdown at the end, and I lose.
I can't wait until we get to the next. When we get to the next biggest discrepancy, and that involves
Zeus. Wait, let's finish the last two.
Oh, yeah.
Apolitical blues. All right. I can get that a little, that's almost as bad as half.
Mm-hmm.
But Source of Infection, I don't like that song. How is that worse than half?
Because those same guys wrote When It's Love, and it pisses me off that they do shit like this when they know better.
But see, the way I look at a song like Source of Infection is the way you look at, like, I'm trying to think, like, it's Van Halen, it's Sammy Hagar. I mean, it's an upbeat. It's not, I'm not going to tell you it's a great song. I have it at 42 because I like the pace of it. I like the music. Lyrically, Sammy, lyrically, it's silly. Musically, I think it kicks ass. But for it to be the worst song out of 105, oof, that's a tough one. But, you know, that's your opinion. I get it.
So if we go 86 down, the only thing that kind of sticks out, I'm looking at, you know, we obviously know Sonny's stuff. I'm looking at Tommy's. The only thing that kind of sticks out for me is he's got three of the Bon Jovi songs in there, and this is going to be a running theme with me giving Tommy shit for this. There's nothing bad about Bon Jovi's stuff. That you might not like them, but they're not that bad. Like, oh, this is a terrible song. That's how I see it.
Okay, and I will respond to that the way that Sonny responded a few minutes ago about something. They're not bad songs. It's not a bad album. But you're asking me to rank that album against some of the greatest albums ever made. That's the problem.
No, but those songs, there's some shit songs that we reviewed from some of our favorite bands, too. They're not that bad, in my opinion. That's all.
Okay, right. No, I get, but that's the same thing as people, you know, the feedback that we just read on Jar of Flies. People absolutely loathe that album. And I get it. I mean, I've said this many times before. I'm not a huge Bon Jovi fan to begin with.
Yeah.
And I just think some of those songs on the self-titled debut are just a little corny, a little kind of cheesy. I like Slippery Simple. When I like Slippery Simple. When. Not even simple, just not. I mean, I like Slippery When Wet. I like New Jersey. Like those songs kick ass. I just think when you throw them up against Guns N' Roses, Metallica, you know, Van Halen, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, it's Ozzy. It's just for me. That's just for me. I mean, if Slippery When Wet was on here, there would have been a ton of songs probably in my top 25, maybe, but you know.
Yeah, and I think part of that is it's Bon Jovi's first album, and it's going up, except for GNR, it's going up against a lot of third, fourth, fifth, sixth, refined. They've already refined their sound, basically, right? Where Bon Jovi hasn't refined his sound until it gets to Slippery.
And that's what I meant. And that's what I meant when I said
Appetite, which is like the greatest.
Yeah.
Debut of all time, almost.
Yeah,
right. And that's what I meant when I said if Slippery When Wet or New Jersey was in this ranking, especially Slippery When Wet. I love that album. Yeah, and that's coming from somebody that's not a huge Bon Jovi fan, but that album is undeniable.
My last couple impressions about since we're going to the worst. Number one is Tom has four Metallica songs, and he picked the album in his last 20.
Yep, that's a good. That's a good observation. That's a good observation. The problem is that album has 14 songs, and these four probably should not have been on it.
Soundgarden probably felt the same fate, right? There's just too many songs on the album.
Yep.
So it's like you're starting their ranking, and it's like at some point, it's like, come on, dude, get over it.
Hey, which leads me to the next part, which is Sonny has seven of the songs from Soundgarden in his bottom 20. Seven.
That like I told you before, I only like half the album.
Yeah, no, I believe that, you know, and
fucking hate the other half.
And that's the problem with Metallica Load. I love that album. I listen to that album frequently, but when it comes to those songs, you know, I don't hate Ronnie. I don't hate Poor Twisted Me. I actually like Mama Said. But again, when you throw it into the mix of these other albums and these other songs, you know, something's got to be at the bottom, you know?
Good point, Tom, because I would say from Mama Said down for me, I have Mama Said to Tame a Land, Apolitical Blues, and Half. Those are the only four that I'm like, oh my God, I can't listen to this.
Yep.
Those are the only four. That's when it gets to the that. Sonny, I think, probably can start at number 50 down. He hates. Tom, what about you? What is like the shit that when does yours start?
For me?
Yeah, like, oh, turn this off. I can't.
So I get to, I have spit it out from Slide It In Whitesnake around 91. I like that song. I would probably say I have Burning for Love by Bon Jovi at 90. Hold on one second. Just let me check that. Yeah. And I would say once we get past like Burning for Love, Spit It Out, then I'm kind of all set. You know, I mean, I know I'm on an island here. I don't like Spoon Man. I think it's a terrible song. I never liked it when it was a hit. That's not, yeah. it's kind of like what we say about Kiss. It's not what I want to hear from Soundgarden.
Yeah, I have it. That's in my last 22.
Yeah.
Sonny, for some God knows unreason, has it number 16, Tom.
Yeah, baby.
You know why I don't fault him for that? You have to take into account the fact that Sonny doesn't like this album very much, and Sonny's not a grunge fan, and Spoon Man was a hit. So if you look at it from through the lens of Zeus and I are grunge Soundgarden fans, we absolutely love Super Unknown. And I think that's why we have Spoon Man near the bottom, because it's not what we want from Soundgarden. You know what I mean? I think you're kind of looking at it through those different kind of lenses. And that's kind of probably why Sonny is so passionate about Source of Infection with OU812. He loves that album. He loves Sammy. He loves Van Halen. But for him, that, or, you know, I'm speaking for Sonny, that's not what he wants to hear from Van Halen Soundgarden. I mean, Van Halen, Sammy Hagar.
Yeah. And that's dead on, right? So for me, Spoon Man gets closer to my music.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is, right? And that's why I like the Alice in Chains songs I like. That's why I like the STP songs I like. It's anything that got closer. Like Temple of the Pearl Jam, I can't tolerate. Seemed like Temple of the Dog was closer to what I was listening to versus Pearl Jam gets way out there.
Wow. Okay. Interesting.
I don't see that. I don't get it.
Okay.
That's okay. I can't see how you think Even Flow is different, is closer to your music than Hunger Strike is.
Even Flow isn't.
I said it incorrectly, but how is Hunger Strike closer to your music than Even Flow?
I think it's Cornell.
Okay.
Okay. The vocals. Yeah. Anything that you guys, Sonny first, that you notice that you want to talk about in the bottom 20 for either the songs we picked or songs that neither you, me, or Tom picked?
Yeah. Obviously, we don't like women titles. Thank God there wasn't a Layla, a Shandy, a Roxanne, or a Billie Jean, or a Nikita, because Ronnie and D didn't do well.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised, Sonny. I love, and I know Zeus, you were kind of the similar. You don't have it ranked as low, but you guys were not fans of No Bone Movies. And you said, and a lot of people said this too, it doesn't fit on the album. I get that mentality. I get that. It does stick out. But that being said, it's on the album, and I like the sound of it. Sonny has it ranked 94th out of 105. It's still Randy Rhoads. You know, I mean, that's harsh, I think. But
the best thing about No Bone Movies is when Zeus says it in Shannon's voice.
Motherfucker, Sonny Pooty. Pooty, No Bone Movies.
That's the best thing about that song right there.
On the bottom, you piece of shit.
Exactly.
Which leads me to think, now that I changed the color code on that and I can pick it out, Tom, thank you.
Okay.
He's got 4 Aussie songs in his bottom. I have
in
one,
my bottom. That didn't
in your right. bottom.
Yeah, he has 4 Aussies in his bottom. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 load songs. 5 loads in my bottom.
Oh God! Edit that out.
Leave that in. I'm clipping that to use.
Sonny, you're clipping that, and that is the next intro to our show.
But in addition to that, in my top 10 worst songs, I have 4 from OU812.
Ooh, that's rough, dude. That's rough.
There's some rough looking songs on that album.
And three of those I love. you have Sucker in a 3-piece, Source of Infection, and AFU, Naturally Wired. Those are like 3 of my favorite songs on the whole album.
Sorry.
Wow. Why?
Yeah, as mentioned earlier, mine probably starts at 50. I just looked at it. It starts at 84. At 84, I can't listen to the songs anymore, and that's where I'm at. I stay away, and then it goes to Quest for Fire. That's when I'm like, okay, turn this shit off.
Okay.
That's probably where the end is.
Which is another great part, because what's his 92, Tom?
What Sonny's? I know Sonny's got Like Suicide 92. I think that was me and you. That was our number one pick off sound off Super Unknown.
Brutal.
Oh God.
Oh my God. So, and that's the thing that kills me, because there's certain songs that one of us hate that the other two rank so high, would have been like a top five song, but yep, one of us buried it.
Well, that's like, it still ended up in the top 40 because you guys ranked it so high.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And I know Zeus is not happy with me, but I have three Bon Jovi songs on my bottom 15.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
And that's funny you say that. So the thing that I was saying about the Bon Jovi stuff, and we'll get to it afterwards,
yeah,
more in detail. But for me, I have none of the Bon Jovi songs in the bottom 20. But actually, as a whole, no Bon Jovi song is in the bottom 20. None.
You mean in the overall rankings?
Yeah, in the overall rankings.
And that's because
they're like in the middle. But, and we'll get to the beginning top part, no Bon Jovi songs in the top 20. That's the point. They're right in the middle, that safe kind of area.
Yep.
But if you go through the rest of these albums, I would say probably Super Unknown and Load have the most on the bottom, you know?
But the thing that both of those things have in common, those albums, is I think they're both the longest albums. Load has, I think, 14. And Super Unknown, I think, might also have 14.
I think I had 15. I don't know. I remember going through a lot of pain. Might be 15. Yeah.
No,
felt like 23.
But you're right. When you have albums that are that long, there's going to be song. And again, I love Load and Super Unknown. Two of my favorite albums I listen to frequently. I have four songs from Super Unknown in my bottom 10. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know what's else interesting here, though, Tom? If you go by albums that we have.
Yep.
Bon Jovi's lowest rating song is an 84, Shot Through the Heart.
Oh, God.
Pyromania. Yeah.
And I like that song.
Yeah, which we'll get to. That lowest is right above it at 83.
Yep.
The lowest ranked then from Appetite is 81. You're So Crazy. Pyromania's at 83 was Billy's Got a Gun. Then I think, am I mistaken here? The album that has the least low song, that makes sense, is slided in at Hungry for Love.
Correct.
At 78. Am I correct on that?
Yep. Yeah. Which would mean, if you're going to break down these stats, and we know people have a popsicle headache right now, which would mean if you're going to look at it out of 10 albums, Slide It In is the strongest album.
In 1K, because you could say their worst song.
That's what I mean.
It's the highest ranked of all these songs here.
Correct. Correct. Their worst song they have the highest ranked worst song.
Now everybody definitely has a headache.
I know.
it's like Brian. Was his name Brian from 16 Candles? He's like the king of the dorks, right?
Exactly. Yeah. All right, let's get to some positivity.
Yes. So we're going to go the top 20 songs.
Okay.
Number 20, Pyromania, Stage Fright. Number, which is funny because
it withstood Zeus's ranking.
Yeah, it was.
I know. Jesus.
Tom had it at 13. Sonny had it at 18. I had it at 63.
Oops. Thank God we ranked it so high. Otherwise, that thing's headed for the 30s.
Yeah. And then look at number 19, what Zeus did.
Okay. Appetite for Destruction's My Michelle. This is, I think, right. It's not as bad because Tom has this at 6.
Yep.
I had it at 55. Sonny had it at 29. I think it's right in the middle because Sonny's 29, roughly, is almost right in the middle between 6 and 55, right?
Yep.
About so, right. Anyway, yeah, that's at 19. Number 18, the surprise of all of these.
Big time.
Because I never even heard the song, and I don't think Tommy heard the song.
Nope.
Peace of Mind, Sun and Steel.
Mm-hmm.
Tom had it 45. I had it 26. Sonny had it 15. Fucking love that song. I play it all the time now.
Yep.
Number 18. Song. That's Peace of Mind. Two of us didn't even know it before we started this.
Yep.
We're going to get a double duplicate here. At very one, almost a 28.3, 28.6. Slide It In, 17, All or Nothing. Tom had it 48. I had it 21. Sonny had 17. Above that, 16. Love Ain't No Stranger. Tom had it 8. I had it 52.
Wow.
And Sonny at 25.
52. Whew.
Pyromania, 15. Too Late for Love. 14 for Tom, 41 for me, Sonny, 22. Then above that, Pyromania, Foolin'. Tom at 5. I had a 38. Sonny at 32.
What's the matter with the two of you?
What's the matter with you? That is not the fifth best song on this thing.
Yeah.
There's no, it's not even close.
Coming from the guy that puts Source of Infection last out of 105 songs.
Oh, my God. Are you comparing Fooling to Source of Infection?
Attaboy.
That's not comparing Prince to fucking pirate metal.
Oh, nah. Well, all right. Maybe close, but okay. Go ahead.
All right. Number 13, the highest ranking and the only top 20 song by this band, OU812's Finish What You Started, Van Halen. Tom had it 43. Me and Sonny right on top of each other. Ooh.
Ooh. Edit that one out, too.
I added 15. Sonny added 13.
So we're doing this. I'm doing this survey because we're doing a Van Halen episode on Growing Up Rock in a little bit. And I sent out a survey of 10 David Lee Roth songs, 10 Sammy songs. They're mostly singles, but you have to cut them down to get them to people to rank them. And a bunch of people have ranked them already. By the way, if you never got that email, just send me an email or a or send me your email on either Facebook or Twitter, and I'll get you the survey. But anyway, this song, you read one email, it's got it number one. Read the next one, out of Sammy songs. Read the next one, it's got it number 10. Read the next one, got it number one. Read the next one, got it number 10. Like, for some reason, this song is either love or hate. I don't know why.
Because it's not what a lot of people want when they hear Van Halen, especially Eddie Van Halen. I mean, it's a cool song, but it's like a finger-picking country song, and it's a cool song. I like it. But when I listen to Van Halen, it's not. This is not what I want to hear from Van Halen.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I had it ranked so low. I like the song, but it's not what I want, you know?
Yeah, it's a little different, but I fucking love it.
Yeah.
And then the next one, number 12.
Yeah.
Similar, very similar. Blizzard of Oz, Mr. Crowley. Tom at 44. I had it 13. Sonny had it at 11. So let's go to the last two songs we just did. Finish What You Started, Mr. Crowley, Tom 44, 43, respectively. Me, 13, 15. Sonny, 11, and 13. So Tom destroyed these two songs. So it's not just me destroying rankings, Tom. There you go.
But they still landed with it. They still landed in the top, you know, 13. You know, I mean, Mr. Crowley, it's all about the solo. The rest of the song is okay. You know, and again, we keep saying this, and you'll hear it again. When you throw it in the mix of these albums, something's gotta be there, you know. And I love Blizzard of Oz, and I love the solo on this, but yeah, the song is good. It's the solo that carries the song, in my opinion, because the song itself is not great. But that's my opinion, and that's what we're here to talk about.
Sonny, anything?
Yeah, just cut his feed. This is why the presidential debate doesn't want to go on Zoom, because they're worried somebody will cut his feed. Just you should just cut in our on Tomlin.
Just do like the thing, like just do like that China technical difficulty screen across so you guys can't hear me and you see nothing. All right.
Number 11, just outside the top 10, almost making it. Jar of Flies, Don't Follow. Tommy at 18, I had it at 5. Sonny, 45. So that's another one. Just everybody's right a little bit further off than the other one.
Yeah, these next few songs, this is where Pooney swoops in with his wrecking ball.
Now we're into the top 10, folks.
Yep.
Of all these albums, top 10 songs we ranked.
Yep.
Number 10, Welcome to the Jungle, Appetite for Destruction. Tom at 7. I had it at 2. Sonny had it at 50. What the fuck?
I get it. It was all over MTV. Yep. It's the song beside Sweet Child of Mine that represents who Guns N' Roses is, blah, 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 blah. Take all that out of it. Have my kids listen to it. They wouldn't rank it in the top five of Guns N' Roses songs. Like, it's the history of it that people are in love with, and I am no longer in love with it. Yes, it is part fatigue, but when I listen to other, not only just other songs on this list, other Guns N' Roses songs, it wouldn't land in my top 10 with other Guns N' Roses songs, to be honest with you.
Ah, no. It's a fucking great song. It's a great song.
This song.
The solo, that intro, the way the song rips into gear. It's a great song.
This and Enter Sandman, the build up.
Yep.
And then boom, when it hits you. Oh my God. Still gives you chills.
Yep.
Staying with Appetite for Destruction in the top 10. Number 9, Rocket Queen. 3 for Tom. 11 for me. 41 for Sonny.
Again, what is happening here? Pooney.
It's just not that good. It's good. It's not that good.
Okay.
And who's the Rocket Queen? I'm the Rocket Queen.
God. I don't know, man.
Sorry. All right. Number 8, Pyromania. Talk about fatigue. Rock of Ages. However, I will say this. I believe Rock of Ages is the most universally ranked song on this whole list. Tom had it 16. Yeah.
Terms of good songs.
At the bottom.
Yeah.
16. I had it 18. Sonny had it at 20.
That's probably the most. Out of the top 20, that's the most even rank.
Yep. Rock of Ages. And that's got a lot of fatigue, but still a great song. And then his Sonny again strikes. Number 7. Slow and Easy. Slide It In. The highest ranked Whitesnake song. Tom had it at number 9. I had it at number 8. Sonny had it at 33.
I'm not sure it's the 8th best song on Slide It In.
Oh, my Lord. What is happening? Love that album. That's your number one album.
It's my number one album. But Slow and Easy is not my top song on that album. And it's a Desert Island album for me. Don't get me wrong. But at some point, some of these other songs are really much better than that one.
Yeah, no.
All
right. Number 6, Blizzard of Oz, Crazy Train. Fatigue, big time. Tom and I both at 23. Sonny, number 2.
You're crazy. You guys are nuts. Dude, this is the quintessential song, basically, on this whole list. You guys are crazy.
We had it at 23. It's fatigue, big time.
Yeah, you have Crazy Train at 2 and Welcome to the Jungle at 50.
That's right.
Like, they're both, like, classic. Like, they're both, like, fatigued, beaten into the ground, like, arena songs. And I don't understand the differential between the two, but that's okay.
So, tiramisu and apple pie is classic, and I'd have it 1 in 50.
What's
it?
Apple pie is disgusting.
All right. Top 5.
Top guys. 5.
Here we go. The highest ranking song from Blizzard of Oz. I Don't Know. Tom, 22. Me at 16. Sonny at 9.
Okay.
Right? That was combined was 15.6. Crazy Train was 16. So that's how close it was. Let's be honest, okay? Number 4.
Tom really fucked us here. This should be number 1.
Yeah. Number 4. Tommy really fucks this one.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm so glad I did.
I'm shocked that you had it this low. But the highest ranking Iron Maiden song, Peace of Mind's The Trooper. Tom had it 35. I had it at 9. Sonny, his number 1 song.
Mm-hmm. It's a good song. It's a good song. It's a good song. I'm just not a huge Iron Maiden fan. Again, mixed Peace of Mind mixed in with these other albums, the Trooper's just not going to get any higher for me.
You fire muskets, but I'll run you through, Tom.
Exactly. Correct. That's correct.
You don't want to sing about the settlers in fucking wartime and running your muskets and stuff?
Nah. Right. This number 3 blew me away that this was number 3.
Me too.
I can't believe that. I mean, go ahead, Zeus.
So coming in at number three, under the radar, did not expect this.
Me neither.
Def Leppard's Pyromania coming under fire.
That is shocking.
Tom at 10. I had it at number four. Sonny at 28. If Sonny was a little bit closer, it could have been number one almost.
Yeah, that I mean, great song. It's Pyromania. I had it 10-4. I didn't think that Zeus or Sonny would have it that high. So I was shocked when I looked at this list and saw Coming Under Fire at three.
Dude, I had it as my number one song from the album. But then again, I had Action Not Words as my number two. So what are you going to say?
Yeah, right.
If you ask 100 listeners right now to rank Pyromania, just the album, those yep. songs, Coming Under Fire wouldn't be in the top three for more than 2% of them, maybe.
I think you're right. I think what's also happening too, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, it's a great song that you never hear.
That's exactly what that is.
It does get played every once in a while on classic rock or something like that.
Yeah, but there's no fatigue. Now, the number one overall song, we'll get to number two and one, which I'm thrilled because, well, I'll save it. Go ahead, Zeus.
I'm not.
Go ahead.
Number two, the highest ranking song by this band, Alice in Chains, Jar of Flies, No Excuses.
Mm-hmm.
Barely missing out on the number one, fucking Sonny. Tom at number two, my number one, Sonny's 30.
If Sonny had this at 29, it would have been number one.
Yeah.
Because it beat out the number one song by 0.4 of a point.
The number one beat it out. Yeah.
Yep. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll any day of the week versus a depressing song. Like I just,
that's not a depressing song.
There's time
song.
For it. It is to me because it drags.
Musically, it's not depressing. Lyrically, it is, but I know what you're saying. I got you.
So it's just for me, like I said, I'd much rather have sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Okay. I got you.
I can blast a lot of these songs out the car radio, whatever. There's nothing that'll make me smile inside more than No Excuses on this whole fucking list.
Oh, I guess I better say Devils and History also, because since I had Crowley and Trooper up there.
There you go. That's true too. Yep.
All right. Number one song, which makes us the number one, the highest ranking song by this band. That is Def Leppard's Pyromania album, Photograph. Tom had it number one. I had it at 27. Fatigue the whole way. That's the only reason. Sonny had it at number four.
This makes me so happy because I got my number one and my number two in the overall rankings. I had Photograph, No Excuses, one and two, and that was the final group ranking. And Zeus, 27 for Photograph. I thought I had some bad rankings. Dude, I know this fatigue, but come on.
Dude, that fatigue, and it's at 27. I didn't fatigue it at fucking 50 like he did from Welcome to the Jungle.
Dude, you have Iron Maiden, Sun and Steel ranked higher than Photograph.
Oh, I would listen to Sun and Steel right now before I would listen to that.
Well, yeah, because of...
Because he's never heard.
Thank you, but that's my point.
Yeah.
Because of fatigue.
Okay.
Yeah, my number one, two, and four ended up in the top six, so I'm good.
My one, two, three, seven, nine, and ten all ended up.
All right, before we get into our each individuals,
yeah, go ahead.
If we look at the top 20, and Pyromania had number 21 too. Rock till you drop.
Yes,
Pyromania. Okay, in the top had six songs in the top 20.
Wow.
That's
yeah.
Fucked up. Appetite had three. Blizzard had three. Slide It In had three. The lowest ranking best song of an album was Load. King Nothing was ranked number 34.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I can't believe only three songs from Appetite made it in the top 20. But then again, you're throwing in all these other albums. Regardless of where your rankings are, I'm not going to argue with the top 20 or even the top 25 for that matter.
By the way, top 10, Pyromania had three in the top 10.
Yep.
Anything you want to do, talk about as far as the top of our list from the group before we go into individual?
From the group? I just think, like, whenever you talk about rankings in general, whether it's music or athletes or movies or something, I mean, I think the reason when you take like an aggregate, I mean, the cream rises to the top, you know? I mean, the best are there for a reason. So even though our numbers disagree, you know, even though, you know, Sonny might have something at 50 and Zeus has it as a 2, or, you know, I have something at 35, Sonny has it as a 1. When you average it out, you know, there's a reason that these songs are the top 10 or the top 20. You know, they're just, I don't think anybody's going to argue and be like, no, oh, I can't believe you have The Trooper in the top 5. That song's terrible. Like, no one's going to say that. It might not be their fourth favorite song on this entire list, but I don't think anybody's going to be like, oh, you guys are crazy for having The Trooper there. You know what I mean? These songs are all great.
No, they would yell.
It's tough.
Go ahead, Sonny. I'm sorry.
Tommy mentioned, you know, like in sports, you know, there's baseball teams. Yankees, Red Sox have had some classic teams where the first 7 or 8 guys are all like Hall of Famer or at least all-star type hitters. There's been football teams like the Niners or whoever you want to talk about that have had these superstar teams. But even when they had those superstar teams, there was still Ken Griffey Jr. playing in Seattle.
Yep.
That was going to infiltrate the all-star game, and the sixth hitter on the Yankees ain't going to make it there because of it. You know, so that kind of stuff happens. Now,
yeah,
I think it's very interesting. The three of us did not agree on a top 10 song at all. Like, we didn't have a single song where all of us had it in our top 10, if that makes sense.
That's an amazing observation, and that's
not one.
Holy fuck.
That's an amazing observation. That's amazing in general.
But you go to the 90s and 100s, we're right with each other. Like, at the top,
and
we
to break
are not that, agreeing.
And to break that down even more, Sonny, there's only one song. Let me pause on that. I'm looking here very quickly, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. There's only one song where we agreed on the top 20.
Yeah.
No. If you look at the top 20 songs, the only song on this list that the three of us had it in the top 20 was Rock of Ages. Me at 16, Zeus at 18, Sonny at 20. Every other song, either two of us had it in the top 10 or top 20, or in the third one of us had it way out of the range. So those are two amazing statistical like anomalies right there, I think. If you're a numbers geek like the three of us are, I think that's amazing.
I think what happens is shit is shit. I think we've all kind of figured that out.
Yep, exactly.
When it comes to the top songs, then like Zeus was saying before, it's how it connected to you and when you came into it. And that plays a huge part in people's top 20, 25. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
So one of the things I want to mention is, so of all these 10 albums that we reviewed, let's go to the highest ranking. So every one of these had a top 20 songs, except for Bon Jovi's highest was Roulette. That was at 22. Super Unknown.
Yeah. Sorry. It's a great song.
Roulette. Tommy had it at 64. I had it at 22. Sonny had it at 12. Super Unknown had it right below. Their highest was 23. Fell on Black Days.
Stupid Tommy.
How the fuck do you have that at 66? Of all these albums, all these songs, the grunge song, like the best on that fucking song album, one of, and you have it at 66, Tom. I had it at 10. Sonny had it. Even Sonny had it at 23.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I was never a huge fan of that song, even when it was a hit. When we talked about Soundgarden, Superunknown, I'm a fan of the long, sludgy, slow songs, you know, like Suicide, 4th of July, Limo Wreck, like all those, like, that's
Fell on Black Days isn't an uplifting.
No, I know. It's okay. Yeah, it's a good song.
Load, King Nothing was the lowest at 38, number 34, excuse me. That was.
And I just want to make it known it wasn't my fault.
No, yeah, that was me. I put it at 60. I had other songs ahead of that.
Look how badly Sonny.
Look underneath that, though. Look underneath that. 35, The Outlaw Torn. Tom had it 11. I had it 25. Sonny had it at fucking 82.
Dude, that could have been a top 20 song if Sonny opened up his fucking ears.
and put it like at 50 or something.
Right.
Right.
It's not that good.
All right. So let's look at everybody's individual. You know
real
what?
Quick, I like hold Zeus. Yeah. Hold on. Hold on. I just want to make a couple comments just about the general list.
Okay.
I am. And this is partially mostly my fault. A little bit of Sonny's fault. I can't believe Runaway was as low as it was. I thought you and Sonny would lift that song up, even though I ranked it 69th. I thought that song would be much higher. I can't believe that Roulette was higher than Runaway. Even though Roulette's a better song than Runaway.
When I was ranking, I'm like, yeah, there is no way I'm going to allow Bon Jovi with that falsetto at the end being the top 40 in my list. That is not happening.
Okay. And I think we said it before. It's not that I don't like the song. I had it ranked 10th. I can't believe Coming Under Fire is the third best song on this list. That's surprising to me. Yeah. Great song, but wow. Big difference there.
Yeah. So what I wanted us to kind of move over to.
Yeah.
Is look at our each individual top 20.
Okay.
Because we don't usually get a chance to kind of talk about what means something to us.
Mm-hmm.
Sonny, you want to read yours from 20 to number one real quick? And if you want to say a comment on any of them, go ahead, but read it down your list.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me get to that point.
I can do it for you if you like.
Yeah. Go for it.
So 20 for Sonny, Rock of Ages, 19, Think About You. What the fuck?
Dude, when that album came out, I remember going to that song going, why is Welcome to the Jungle the first single? Like, I thought that should have been the first single. I love that song.
Tommy had it 63. I had it 76, year of it 19. I get people like sometimes, you know, these fucking deep cuts, but it's a big deep cut. 18, Stage Fright. 17, All or Nothing. 16, Spoon Man. We talked about that already. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sun and Steel at 15. 14, It's So Easy. Finish What You Started at 13. 12, Roulette. 11, Mr. Crowley. 10, Night Train.
Yeah, you guys don't drink enough. Yeah. That's what the problem is with Night Train. You guys don't drink enough.
Could be. Number 9, your top 10, I Don't Know. 8, Flight of Icarus, which is, you know, a lot of people might give us some shit for. Tom ranked it at 89.
The song is not good.
Oh, my God. It's a.
I had it at 46.
Song. You really fucked that song.
And Sonny had it at number 8.
That should have been in the top 20. That's an amazing song.
Push that out. Then you had 7, Slide It In, the title track. 6, Mr. Brownstone. Number 5, Standing in the Shadow. 4, Photograph. 3, When It's Love.
Dude, it's one of the best songs ever written.
I said this when we did the OU812 review. My thoughts on When It's Love. The verses are spectacular. The chorus is horrible. It is one of the cheesiest choruses ever. It's an embarrassing chorus for a Van Halen song. I love the verses. I think musically, lyrically, I think the verses are great. That chorus is why it sunk the song for me. But
Tom
that's okay.
had it 85.
Yeah.
I had it 24. Sonny had it 3. That would have been easily a top 20 song if Tom had it 50.
Yeah. It's on my Getting Busy playlist. So
all right.
Oh, hell yeah.
Great. It's a great pop song. Number 2 for Sonny was Crazy Train. His number 1, as we said, The Trooper.
Okay.
So I'll do mine real quick and we'll end it with Tom.
Okay, go ahead.
Number 20. So I will say this. I had by far in the top 20, the most obscure that neither of you guys had. The most number of songs that were not in anyone else's top 20.
Mm-hmm.
Number 20, Die Hard the Hunter.
It's a great song. I love that song.
I'm not laughing. And everything. The breakdown, the middle is beautiful.
Yeah.
Like Suicide, 19. Tommy and I had that. Rock of Ages, 18. We all, Tommy and I and Sonny had that. 17, I Stay Away. 16, I Don't Know. 15, Finish What You Started. 14, Action Not Words.
Oh, God.
I love that song.
Yikes.
13, Mr. Crowley. 12, Runaway. 11, Rocket Queen. 10, Fell on Black Days. 9, The Trooper. 8, Slow and Easy. 7, fucking Sonny's like 100th. Revelation Mother Earth.
Ay, ay, ay.
6, Sweet Child of Mine. 5, Don't Follow. 4, Coming Under Fire. Number 3.
Oh, terrible.
Would have been a top 20 song guaranteed. Give Me More Time by Whitesnake. Tom had it at 70 fucking 9.
It's one of the worst songs. It's one of the worst songs on Slide It In.
Oh my God. Fucking no, it's not. And then Sonny had it at 27. Number 2, Welcome to the Jungle. Number 1, No Excuses.
All right. So for
now,
me,
let's go to Tom. Go ahead.
Yep. So for me, so we start off my number 20, Ain't My Bitch. I'm the only one who had anything from Metallica in the top 20, which is probably why I'm the one that picked the Metallica album. So 20, Ain't My Bitch. 19, Steal Away the Night. 18, Don't Follow. 17, Like Suicide. 16, Rock of Ages. 15, Out to Get Me. 14, Too Late for Love. 13, Stage Fright. 12, Sucker in a three-piece.
Stop oh, there. Good stop Lord. There for a second.
That's terrible.
Best song
just,
on the
can
album.
You just hang up on him.
Okay, stop there for a second. Let's go over this.
Best song
Tom
on the album.
Tom had it number 12.
Yep.
Sonny had it 71. Ugh. I had it at 100.
What? That is fucking insane.
If my math is correct, that's an 88. point difference. It's not 96 like me and Sonny, but it's up there.
It's close. All right. And then 11, The Outlaw Torn. Then my top 10, Coming Under Fire. Number 9, Slow and Easy. 8, Love Ain't No Stranger. 7, Welcome to the Jungle. 6, My Michelle. 5, Foolin'. 4, I Stay Away. 3, Rocket Queen. 2, No Excuses. 1, Photograph. So my top 3 songs are actually in the order of the artists for my top 3 albums. Pyromania, Jar of Flies, Appetite.
Yeah, I would look at this. You know what? I'm going to take a guess here for me.
Okay.
If I'm looking at this, I don't know who, if I had to get pick somebody's top 20 and like, this is a greatest hits album you can buy. Do I take Tom's or do I take Sonny's? I don't know. You each have good points. There's nothing really like, other than fucking Sucker, but I don't consider Sucker being like,
you like the Outlaw Torn, and I have that.
Yeah, no, you do. There's, you know, there's nothing really that I would sit there and say you guys are really off. I like the various tastes that you guys have.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I mean, I think it would be a pretty much a toss up between your albums.
Yeah, I think both top 20s are. I mean, I wouldn't not listen to either one of them. I mean, I know you have Revelation Mother Earth high. I don't mind that song. I know Sonny absolutely loves
it. I think mine's
it.
The most different top 20 at least. Because well, I have Revelation, I have Action Not Words, Die Hard the Hunter. That's nowhere near anybody else's.
I also
and
think
Give Me More Time.
One of the things with my album is very fat. On only a few albums, you and Sonny have much more varied top 20s. Like you, I think other than with the exception of Metallica Load, we can look at this. I think you guys have almost, every album represented. And I don't.
Yeah, Outlaw Torn is 25. That's the only one outside my top 20. Tom, you have, if I'm not mistaken, 6 top 20 songs by Def Leppard, and 21 was Rock Rock Till You Drop.
Yep.
So very Def Leppard heavy.
And yeah, 4 and 4 from Appetite.
I don't have any Jar of Flies in my top 20.
Okay.
Yeah. My top 20 most likely would appeal to the fair weather fan, rock music fan, because I've got a lot of hits in mine.
Yeah, and I think
even the deeper cuts, they're listenable songs for people who don't listen to a lot of rock.
Yeah, I think Zeus has probably the more deeper cuts with Action Not Words, Revelation, Mother Earth, Die Hard the Hunter, great songs. But I think in terms of being user friendly, I think Zeus may have
think about the, you stage fright. Those are deep cuts.
Yeah, but people that don't normally listen to rock music would give it a chance. Like they wouldn't dislike them. And what they would do is they would listen to my top 20 and then send me presents for not having them listen to Revelation Mother Earth.
That has to be, I think that out of 105 songs, I think that is arguably the most polarizing song on this entire list. It has to be. Oh yeah, or actually, it's either that or Source of Infection. Or Sucker in a Three Piece, because those are two of my favorite songs on that album. You guys hate them both.
I'm still pissed that Photograph is number one over No Excuses. I really am. Because I feel like, you know, they're, you know, beyond close, 10.6 versus 11.
Right.
It's
right.
Just that fucking, you know, the. It would have felt nicer, but Tommy has a big emotional connection to Photograph, so I get it.
That was the tipping point, yeah.
Yeah, fucking Poony.
I'm surprised he had it that low, because I know, you know, you like it. You've acknowledged that you like No Excuses, but again, you're a rock guy, so, you know, I think 30 was actually pretty good out of 105 for Sonny.
Yeah.
You know?
So that's our list. We'll obviously break this down, and when we post this episode, we'll post the breakdown so you guys can understand. When you listen, you can watch this.
So you guys you can do homework.
Yes. Yeah.
But everybody loves homework.
We got a couple of the categories to do.
Okay, go ahead.
So we already did the album ranking for the covers because we described it in the previous Jar of Flies.
Yeah.
So obviously, from the 10 albums, what ends up happening, the cumulative of these albums, I will read them from 10 to number one. We each have our favorites, right? So let's go by album covers from 10 to number one. Combination from the three of us. The 10th is is Load by Metallica. Number 9 was OU812. Number 8, Bon Jovi. Number 7, Super Unknown. Number 6, Jar of Flies. Number 5, Pyromania. Number 4, Snakes and Titties.
Yeah.
Slide it in. Number 3, Appetite for Destruction. Number 2, Peace of Mind. Number 1, Blizzard of Oz.
Wow.
And
so OU812 and Load were definitely the bottom. They were dead. They were definitely going to be 9 and 10. And Blizzard of Peace of Mind were close at being 1 and 2.
Yeah, and if you look, basically, Load, you had it 9. Me and Sonny had it at 10.
Yep.
OU812, 10, 8, and 9. And then Bon Jovi's is kind of there, except for Sonny had in the middle. But if you go to the top, me and you both had Blizzard of Oz as number 1.
Yep.
And Sonny had it number 3. So then you go Peace of Mind, which was number 2. Sonny's number 1 album, and then you had it 2, I had it 3. So those obviously make for the best. It makes sense that they will rank 1 and 2.
Yep.
Anything you want to talk about album covers?
No, I think I'm not going to really argue about that. You know, the good ones are up top for a reason. The bottom ones are at the bottom for a reason. You know, they just
Sonny, anything?
I mean, you get great drawings from Eddie and Snakes and Titties. It's just not going to beat that. I mean, I'm sorry.
All right.
Okay. All right. No, that's fair. That is fair.
So we did album covers. Now let's do albums itself. Before we get into the breakdown with the songs, let's just do our normal album rankings. Tom, want to read your top 10, what you did as we ranked these albums, what you ranked as top 10?
Mm-hmm. So my 10th was Peace of Mind. Number 9 was Bon Jovi. Number 8 was OU812. 7 was Slide It In. 6 was Load. 5 is Super Unknown. 4 is Blizzard. 3 is Appetite. 2 is Jar of Flies. And 1 was Pyromania.
All right. For me, number 10, OU812. 9, Load. 8, Peace of Mind. 7, Slide It In. 6, Super Unknown. 5, Bon Jovi. 4, Jar of Flies. 3, Appetite for Destruction. 2, Pyromania. 1, Blizzard of Oz.
For me, it was 10, Load. 9, Jar of Flies. 8, Super Unknown. All the grunt stuff ended at the bottom. 7, Blizzard. 6, OU812. 5, Bon Jovi. 4, Peace of Mind because of 2 dinosaur songs. 3, Pyromania. 2, Appetite. And 1, Snakes and Titties. Slide it in.
God.
So if you take that cumulative, number 10th ranked album of these 10 albums we've done is Load.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, OU812. Number 8, Peace of Mind. Tied coming up next, 6 and 7, basically. Bon Jovi and Super Unknown are tied. Tied the next group, Jar of Flies and Slide It In. Then number 3, Blizzard of Oz. Number 2, Appetite for Destruction. Slightly beating that, Pyromania, number 1.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not going to argue with any of that. Those are, I mean, again, we said this, when you're talking about a group, when you're talking about different opinions and you're mixing them in, you know, it doesn't surprise me that Jar of Flies is number 4. Because I know that Sonny had it 9th. You know, me and you lifted that up. I had it 2, you had it 4. So I think that's what lifted it up.
Yeah, I look at this as in a funny way. The albums that I'm not familiar with, I didn't put last. I never heard Load. I never heard Peace of Mind. I knew a couple songs from them. I put OU812 as last. You, I know, aren't familiar with Peace of Mind and Bon Jovi, and you had those two last, Tom.
Yep.
You also have your songs, that albums that you picked, number 2 and number 6. So you weren't always, and what's the other one that you picked there? And number 7. So you weren't always like the albums that you picked automatically 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
Same thing with me. So for me, Jar of Flies, I didn't pick, but Super Unknown, excuse me, and Bon Jovi, 5 and 6, right in the middle, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Sonny, you put the number 1 album, an album picked by Tom. Slide it in. The album that you picked, Peace of Mind, was 4, and OU812 was 6. If you look, guys, at the albums that we picked as group picks, Pyromania number 1, Appetite Destruction number 2, Blizzard of Oz number 3.
Interesting. Yep.
Right? Yep. I would say mine are probably the least liked from that, because I have Bon Jovi and Super Unknown actually 6 and 7. Oh, actually, I'm not sure on that. Tommy had Load and Slide It In 5 and 4 with Jar of Flies. Sonny had Peace of Mind 8. And Sonny's had the least liked his picks. Peace of Mind and OU812 was 8 and 9.
Yeah, I knew that Load was going to not like be, you know, it's first of all, it's Metallica. It's an unusual Metallica album, and it's got 14 songs. So it doesn't surprise me that it's ranked last.
Any thoughts, guys?
No, I think like when we decide, we always say this, when we decide to pick a group pick, we always try to pick, you know, an iconic classic album. So it's no surprise that Pyromania, Appetite, Blizzard are the top 3. All the other albums then are personal selections. So, you know, that's why you have albums varying from Slide It In to Load to Super Unknown, you know, just different styles, different genres.
Sonny.
Yeah, I think that's dead on. When we're picking our personals, our music tastes are not alike. And that's just how it is. Like, you know, if we had Tony as a 4th, we'd be very much alike. You guys be very much alike, and everything would end up in the middle kind of thing.
Yeah.
When you're talking about the most classic albums ever, that's a whole other ball of wax. There's no doubt about that. And it doesn't matter. That's why they're diamond albums to begin with, because they brought a lot of listenership in instead of, hey, the thrash guys stand over here and the hair metal guys stand over here and the grunge guys stand over here and the stupid country boys stand over here. See how I kind of threw that in?
No, you're right. You're right. Yep.
So now we get to where we do the ranking and people get the popsicle headaches.
Yes.
So this means, so for all those songs that we ranked, we basically take those albums, we add up the average of those songs' rankings, and then that's the album ranking.
Yep.
So if you take the average ranking of a song off Super Unknown, the average ranking of a song off of Super Unknown of the 105 songs we have is 67.6.
Thanks, Sonny.
Are you welcome?
So that's number 10.
Mm-hmm.
For number 9, the average song off this album was 65.5. That's from Load.
Mm-hmm. This doesn't.
Number 8. Very close. These three were very close. Peace of Mind, 64.24, the average song. So 8 is Peace of Mind, 9 is Load, Super Unknown is number 10. The next song, a little bit of a split here, and it's very close to number 6. The next album is Bon Jovi, 57.71. The next, number 6, OU812, 57.13. That's how close those two were. Then there's the next four, very similar. And number 1 is way ahead of everything else. Number five, Jar of Flies, 46.72. The average song of 105 songs was 46.72 on Jar of Flies. The number 4, Blizzard of Oz, 45.67. Top 3. Slide It In, 42.63. The average song on Slide It In, 42.63. Number 2, 41.13, Appetite for Destruction, which leads the number 1 song cumulative average for an album, and that's Pyromania, blowing everything away. Not even close. The average rating for the number 1 album, the songs on Pyromania, are 30.3. Wow.
Yeah, not a surprise there. And it's interesting that number 2 and number 5 are only separated by 5 points. And then you have a big drop off to 6, and then a big drop off to 8, and then 8, 9, and 10 are a couple points apart. But yeah, Pyromania just crushed it. I mean, number 2 was 11 points behind it, you know, and everything else was single digits, you know, relatively close. Although, well, Jar of Flies was about 11 points higher than OU812, but Pyromania just crushed it. And it should, because it's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes Sonny. Sense that the two Diamond albums are at the top. There's no doubt about it. I'm surprised Appetite wasn't a farther split from Slide It In.
Me too.
Most people, if you were to ask them, have you heard Appetite or do you own it, rock fans? Yeah. If you ask them if they don't Slide It In, they probably say no. So, and it sold 2.5 times less. So that makes sense. Or actually more than that, probably. So I'm surprised they're so close. It just goes to show you that there's some albums out there that might not have gotten the sales that it deserved, but they are great albums.
Slide It In being one of them. Yeah. No, you're right. I am a little bit surprised at Appetite is so far off from Pyromania.
That's because you guys don't drink enough.
No, that could be it. I don't know if it's, I think songs like maybe because, you know, You're Crazy was probably ranked, that kind of sunk it a little bit. You know, maybe songs like Anything Goes or Think About You kind of maybe sunk it a little bit further than it should have. But I thought that would be a little bit closer. But Pyromania being number 1 doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. What's interesting is if you go by our rankings of the albums and then our song ranking for each album, mm-hmm. individually, it's a big difference. Pyromania is my number 1, where I would select Blizzard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
And Load is my last, where I picked OU812 is just generally as the least. And Super Unknown is number 9 for me. What the fuck? And now there's 6.
Yep.
So, you know, Tom, you're pretty straightforward. You're top four. And that's very unusual.
Yeah.
Sonny's, I think, and we three have, of his four are.
Yeah, we had this when we talked about the Kiss thing too. You know, pulling an album apart and ranking the songs individually. You know, like you said, you love Super Unknown. Song ranking statistics show that it's the 9th ranked album here, which obviously it's not. But because it has songs on it that absolutely weigh it down like a 10,000 pound anchor, songs like Half and Head Down and Kickstand, you know, they drag it all the way down. And that's that. And that's what happens when you pull albums apart. And, you know, we experienced this with the Kiss rankings, with the Kiss rankings, too, when we did this.
Yeah. And you talked about Kiss, like my favorite Kiss song is Mr. Speed. So,
yep.
How are you going to compare Mr. Speed to Photograph?
Exactly. Right.
Like that's tough to do. Right. Yep. So that's what we're doing when we start mixing bands into each other. It's kind of tough to split them apart because it seems wrong. Like Mr. Speed would most likely not end up number one on this list. It might end up as my number one. I don't know if I can say it's better than The Trooper, to be honest with you, but it's my favorite Kiss song.
Yep.
So
interesting stuff.
A perfect example was like, just real quick, I didn't mean to cut you off, Zeus. Perfect example was, again, coming back to the Kiss thing, where I had the Gene Simmons solo album ranked on just emotional personal rankings, and then where I had it ranked when you pull the songs apart and rank the songs out of the 106 or 108 Kiss songs. I mean, the Gene Simmons album was like last. But like we said, when you take into account, you know, the album cover, the history with it, your emotional attachment to it, the album as a whole, it lifts it up. It's going to make it higher than it is than what you do here when you see these numbers, when you pull the song out and say, okay, I'm going to rank 105 songs just blindly based on the individual song. That's when you're going to see like that, where the stat geek comes in. You know, like we said, like with sports, the eyeball test versus sabermetrics.
Yeah. So one of the other parts of this I wanted to kind of go through real quickly is how we each ranked each album. So for instance, the highest ranked album is Tom ranking Pyromania. The average song on Pyromania for Tom is 23. Mm-hmm. Sonny's best is Slided In, 25.1. Mine is Pyromania at 31.8. Mm-hmm. So that's always interesting. Tom and Sonny have the 5 lowest ranked albums.
Yeah.
So even Load for me, Tom, you picked. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't even have it's the 5th worst album. You guys did that shit. I'm more in the middle of all these things. I think I was, you know, not spreading a little bit more variety. The worst ranked album, and this is why I give Tom shit about this, because if you look at his stuff, Tom has Bon Jovi as his 9th best album, but ranked. Tom, the average song on Bon Jovi is 80.2. Yep. That's the worst ranked by any of us. And then Tom's Peace of Mind, 77.8. Elevate your mind, Tom.
Yeah. I mean, again, I've said it many times. I'm just not a huge Bon Jovi fan. And that album, it's got some good songs. I like Roulette. I like Runaway. I like some, but it's just when you compare it to these other albums, you know,
they're new to you. I'm telling you, it's because they're new.
No,
the two albums you are not familiar with are the two least ranked albums.
But the flip side to that argument is the reason I'm not familiar with them is because I never wanted to expose myself to music like that. I'm not an Iron Maiden fan, and I'm not a Bon Jovi fan. So why would I spend time listening to a Bon Jovi and an Iron Maiden album? It's not like they're two bands that I love. And those are albums that I never, you know, expose myself to. I'm not a Bon Jovi or an Iron Maiden fan.
The 25th was mine for Load, and Peace of Mind was 21 for me. So of the 30.
Okay. Yep.
I don't know those albums.
Yep.
And I could say the same thing. I'm just telling you, I think it's because you didn't listen to them enough or whatever. Maybe I'm wrong. I think if you listen to it a little more, you'd probably say, yeah, that song is not as bad as that. No, that's not. But it is what it is. Sometimes we pick a song like, I don't know, I make this 85. I probably could have made it 65. Who knows? Like, you know, it's not that big of a deal. Sometimes it's not that life and death decision that it has to be so overanalyzed. Sometimes you just throw a number out, and then this what comes out.
Yep.
What'll be interesting is if we start throwing country and pop albums, this is going to be kind of like, I don't know how you're going to rank Prince and Michael Jackson and Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson in this list.
That's when
it's going to be all over
the
place.
Do you like the song? Do you, but you know what? I listened to this song by Prince that I'd never heard of. Fucking's good. I like it.
But the problem with that kind of mixed genre stuff, I mean, yeah, we have grunge and rock, but this is all generally rock. The problem with that is that all depends on your mood. Because if say my next pick is Purple Rain, okay, I could have that as my number one album. And then 6 months later, I'd be like, no, 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 Pyromania is my number one album. You know, I could have, you know, When Doves Cry is a top five song. And then 3 months later, I'd be like, nah, that's probably like the 30th best song. I mean, granted, you could say that with any of these songs on these lists on this list now. But when you start getting into mixed genre, then you really start getting a brain cramp.
So here's what's going to end up happening. At some point, if I ever do a country album, Sonny's going to have every fucking song as the top 10 worst songs. Yep.
107, 108, 109, 110, 111. I'm going to start making up numbers. There's 135 songs, 146, 185.
Well, who knows? Who knows? Because the next 10 starts next month. And, you know, we're sticking with rock, metal, grunge. Who knows what 2021 may bring if we start, you know, free your mind, Craig. You know, who knows? You know, I might throw in, you know, we might be reviewing Eric B. and Rakim Paid in Full next year. Who knows?
Wow.
You never know. You never know what's going to happen.
AMG's bitch better have my money.
I was just going to sing that opening lyric, but I'm not going to because I don't want to get us kicked off.
Yeah. Maybe what we end up doing is if we get away from the rock genre, let's say.
Yeah.
Then maybe we do like a miscellaneous genre, which has some R&B, hip hop, maybe some rap, some country, some pop, and do a bonus episode for those 10 put together and see where they kind of end up. So it stays out of the rock genre. Maybe, I don't know.
That'd be funny.
You can't because how are you going to do like, what is, if he picks a rap album and then you pick Prince, where does that go? Aren't they just non-rock, but still different?
Yeah. So what?
Like, how are you going to rate? You're going to have a rap album versus a Prince album. They're not the same music, but they're both not rock.
Yeah. But they're top 40 most likely at some point.
Well, Prince is, if I threw in, you know, a Run DMC album, that's Prince could be considered pop R&B. Run DMC is just hip hop.
Yeah, but why can't you say I like fucking Purple Rain better than Appetite for Destruction? What's wrong with that?
You can, but I think Sonny doesn't want to be put in that position.
I do. I can tell you right now, I do.
Okay, yeah. Well, then I'm not picking that because I don't want it on the fucking list then.
Oh, well, then I love every Waylon Jennings album better than I like Appetite.
Strike. You know what would be dangerous, and we're never going to do this.
Dangerous, but worth the risk.
Exactly. Oh, if we ever allowed listeners to pick an album,
fuck that.
Exactly. That's why I said it. Because I
fuck that.
Why? You don't want to Wolf review Mother? You don't want to review the debut album by Powerwolf. By the way, Wolf Mother has a couple of good songs, Sonny. They sound like Zeppelin. They sound like Wolf. No, not Leather Wolf. Wolf. Too many Wolf bands. Leather Wolf. Oh, God. Oh, my Lord.
Okay. Yeah, because that's what you end up with, fucking Hall of the Mountain King on our list.
Oh, hell no. No. See, people will pick stuff just for us to shit on it. That's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. And then we're going to be like, all right, let's put it in the fucking the mixer and pick one out. And we're like, oh, Hall of the Mountain King. Fuck that.
Throw that. You're right. They're purposely going to select albums that they can just listen to us shit on for 2 hours because it's probably more entertaining than talking about how unbelievable AC/DC Highway to Hell is.
Yeah.
You know, or something like that. You know,
Fat Larry's Band, whatever that fucking guy is.
Fat Larry's Band. Oh, man. Well, it's going to be interesting what the next bonus pick is because we already know what that is.
Holy, and that's going to take me a lot of time. Oh, my God. fucking boony. We got two left in this year, guys. Sonny, yep. And I don't know if I should just leave a better taste in our listeners' mouths.
After well, there's another edit. There's another edit, Sonny.
I got four loads.
I was just gonna.
I got my bottom.
Or do I go off the grid? Because I think Sonny went a little off the grid. So
no, his is still rock. His is still rock.
Yeah.
Well, you got to be. You don't want to go off the grid yet. Maybe we can kick
save
off.
It.
Yeah.
Save
it. Maybe we can kick off 2021 with a little bit of off the grid. But
all right. So, when we're done with any other final comments, actually.
No, I think, you know, like I've already said this before when we were talking about the songs specifically and the album specifically, you know, there's a reason things are at the top of the list and there's a reason why things are at the bottom of the list. The middle of each list is where you're going to start to see more personal preferences. I mean, obviously the whole thing is personal preference, but the middle is where you're going to see a lot of really, you know, personal, like it's my personal private business.
But the like you're doing any business, Tom.
But the bottom and the top, they're up there for the reason, and they're down there for the reason, I think. So,
okay. Yeah, for me, what I realized was there are times, and everybody goes through this, where you know you're kind of like in a more somber or depressed or dreary mood, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what connects some of the folks to grunge. I get that from other artists. So I don't mm-hmm. go to grunge when I'm looking for that. And that's maybe why it always ends up at the bottom for me, right? When it comes to fun and upbeat music, I go to a lot of places for it. When it comes to like more, I guess, depressing or the topics make me feel more somber, I go somewhere else for that. I don't go to grunge for that.
But that's an interesting comment. And I'll just real quick, like, I don't know if I listen to music. Maybe I do on a subconscious level. I don't know if I put anything on because of the mood I'm in. I mean, I'm sure it happens, but a lot of times I'm like, you know what? I haven't listened to the Metallica Black album in a while. I just feel like listening to that. Or, you know what? I haven't listened to, you know, Paul's solo album in a while. I feel like listening to that. Or I have, you know, I don't know if I'm like, you know, I feel really bummed out today. I'm going to listen to fucking Jar of Flies. I don't know if I don't know. I don't think I've ever done that on a conscious level. Maybe I have. I don't know. But I thought that's interesting.
Yeah, so, I've done it on a conscious level. I've done it to create mood.
Okay.
So I'll be driving to a store and I know it's going to be a shit show. And I'm like, all right.
Okay.
Put in Master of Puppets because I'm about to go kill somebody. Like that okay, kind of thing.
Somebody's about to die.
That's right.
I can see that. Okay, I can see that.
Mood too. So, but you know, I think people listen to music for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah. I mean, I know Zeus is the same way. I think, I mean, 99% of the time I'm doing shuffle. Very rarely do I'm like, oh, do I seek out an album? I mean, it happens, but a lot of times I'm just shuffle. Now, the funny thing about shuffle is it kind of defeats the purpose of shuffle because I'll just keep skipping until I get to a song I want to hear. You know what I mean?
You know what it is? If there's something that I'm okay with, or I don't know, all of a sudden come up a shuffle from an album that I've downloaded that I'm like, I don't really know this song. If I'm in the mood to listen to it and learn it, I'll listen to it. If not, I'm like, get the fuck out of here. What? I don't know the song.
I do that too.
I don't know the song. But sometimes I'm in a mood like I'll listen to something different.
Yep.
And that's how it goes. But you know, it's music. You listen to what you like. It doesn't have to be fucking, oh, I only like metal. Like, you know,
right.
If it feels good, then like it, enjoy it. So,
yeah. And you're dead right, Zeus. I do the same thing as, you know, cause we'll listen to new bands cause we're talking about new bands on the podcast, yeah. Whatever. Right. I gotta be in a mood to listen to new albums. Like I'm like, if I listen to a new album right now, it's getting zero stars every song right now. I can't do it right now. Yeah. But when I'm in the mood, I'll listen to five or six new albums in a row cause my mood is there and I can do it.
That's actually that's funny that you say it because I'm kind of the same way when it comes to like TV or movies. Like if I at the end of the day, it's getting late. I go downstairs. I'm like, I just don't have it in me to pay attention and give my mental capacity to, I'm like, just let me watch the fucking Office again. You know what I mean? It's like when I watch The Office, it's like the same as me listening to like Dressed to Kill. It's like, I just can't, I don't have, you know, I want to listen to something or I want to watch something that's comfortable and familiar. And other times I'm like, all right, you know what? I heard that this movie is good, or I've never heard of this movie in my life. I'm going to watch it. The same thing with an album. I'll be like, oh, this new album by this band that I kind of like just came out. I'm going to listen to it. And other times I'm like, skip, not in the mood.
Yeah. Just like when Rock and Roll All Night comes on shuffle on the 30 different albums that I have downloaded on my app. You know, like, all right, I fucking can't do this.
Yep.
So, and it's fast forward. So yep. Thank you, gentlemen, for the conversation. I'm sure we'll do the live cast of this so people can't, you know, blow their brains out even more than they're going to do after listening to this.
Nice.
So next, we usually go to the You Make Me Rock Hard. So, Mr. Pooney, what do you got this week? What makes you rock hard?
So I went with a movie this week. I was on vacation and there was days I was watching new stuff, kind of like what Tommy mentioned. And then there was days I'm like, I just need to zone out and watch a movie I've seen maybe several times, pay attention when I feel like it kind of thing. Yeah. And the movie I sought out this week was Boiler Room. Ooh, remember yeah. Boiler Room?
Oh, yeah. With Ben Affleck.
Yeah, Ben Affleck, yeah, Giovanni Ribisi, right?
Yep,
Vin Diesel, yep. Nia Long. If you've never seen it, the movie is about, you got this, Giovanni is basically running a backdoor casino for college kids. And he's trying to get approval from his judge dad. And so he ends up getting into like the stock business because he's got a couple of friends that are stockbrokers. But the problem is that the stock they're selling is complete shit. It doesn't exist. And they're basically screwing people out of money. So it's a pretty good movie. I mean, with Giovanni Ribisi, Vin Diesel, Nia Long, Ben Affleck, Scott Kahn. I mean, it's got some high-powered actors. Mm-hmm. And the movie's only 20 years old, and it stands up. I saw it the other day, and I was still, like, to me, a movie stands up when you've seen it 15, 20, 25 times, and there's still times where you pay attention, even though you're kind of just looking for some background noise. And that's what it did for me is I was doing something and then the movie ended. I'm like, God damn, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. What the hell happened? I realized I was paying attention to the movie.
Yeah.
So it's a good movie. You guys seen it?
I think I saw it honestly, like when it first came out, and I don't think I've seen it since. I remember bits and pieces, but is it on streaming or how did you watch it?
I think I saw it on either HBO or Showtime.
Okay.
Yeah. I've seen it. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
I like it.
Nice. Cool.
I'll go next.
Okay.
So what my pick is a documentary / TV show. And after I saw the A&E documentary on Ozzy, The Nine Lives,
mm-hmm.
right after that, they had the A&E documentary, I Want My MTV. So I watched that. It's 2 hours. It's great. And you know what I liked about it is that it went right up to the part where I stopped paying attention and it talked about how it started and fucking Michael Nesmith from the Monkees.
Uh-oh.
He has his rumor has his hands on everything. And he's the one that was coming up with like fucking videos and thought of it. And then it eventually went to some producer who then they started pitching this idea and it's quite interesting hearing about it. And then you flashing back, like, I remember when it first came out. I remember when we had it, nobody else had it. Because in Boston, MTV came out real early.
Yes, and we were lucky with that.
Yeah, we got it early. We had cable early, too. And so I remember the beginning. And then they were talking about how artists were like, in the beginning, pay us to go on you. Like, no, we're not paying you. You guys do it. And then, you know, the controversy, I didn't realize how big it was, of them not playing black artists in the David Bowie interview. And then I didn't realize it was fucking, what's his name there? I'm Rick James, bitch, caused a lot of that stir and shit. And they're like, dude, we didn't play your videos because it's like porn. That's why, exactly. Not because you're black. And then Michael Jackson. And then how, you know, eventually when they were bought out by Viacom, that was the difference. And all of a sudden MTV stopped playing videos and started doing the TV shows. And then when they flashed all the TV shows, this is at the last 15 minutes of the thing. And you're like, holy shit, I remember that show. Holy shit, I remember this. And you're like, holy shit, MTV did do the first reality TV show. Thanks.
Yep.
And all the other stuff that you're like, oh my God, I remember that. And you have realized what a huge impact MTV had on pop culture and, you know, the stars that came from them. And one other quick thing that I noticed was that they said that the American artists, because the record labels didn't want to put their shit on. So it was a second form of the British invasion. And never even realizing it did make sense that all the British people were sending. And that's why we got all the like Duran Durans and Flock of Seagull shit and all those other awful bands. Yep. And
Duran Duran's not awful.
No, Duran Duran's not awful. No, I like Duran Duran. I'm saying like Flock of Seagulls and all the awful shit that came from England with the stupid hairdo stuff. and it was just a fascinating thing. And like I said, I like that it was geared towards us telling us about it. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of stops as they veered off. And there's a nice part about how rap got on there too and how that changed everything. You look at it and you're like, holy shit, MTV had a huge role in our pop culture. It really did. It's, you know, and it's I want my MTV on A&E. It was great.
That's interesting because I'm wondering if that has any connection because I have a book called I Want My MTV, and it's a huge book. And it's another one of those oral history type books, kind of like the grunge book that I had mentioned. So I'm wondering if the book and the documentary are connected in any way, because the book is fantastic. And it sounds like kind of what you just said, the kind of the way it gives you that timeline, how it was created and how it evolved and what it became, you know. So I'll check out the documentary because the book's great.
Yeah, it mentions the book, I think, at least once. The documentary was awesome. I watched it this week.
Oh, okay.
Good. Also,
yesterday, yeah. Actually.
And it kind of cemented for me some of the thoughts I've had before is if you grew up in the 70s, most likely if you're into rock music, one of your siblings, you know, brother, sister, cousin, whatever, uncle even, kind of exposed you to the music. Right. If you grew up in the mid 80s, most likely you're an MTV kid. Mm-hmm. If you grew up in the mid 90s, most likely you're a video game Guitar Hero kid. Right. That's kind of where certain people got theirs. And even later than the 90s, like my kids are more of a Guitar Hero because they were in the Guitar Hero 3 and 4 by the time these kids had the guitar controller and were playing along and blah, blah, blah. I thought it was a great documentary. Nice. I didn't know. And Zeus explained a bunch of it. I didn't know most of that stuff. And there's even a part in there where they were trying to figure out when they're kind of telling why they're not playing black artists. Mark Goodman really stepped on his own cock a couple of times about, well, you know, we're more of a rock station and black artists aren't really on rock stations and that kind of thing. They try to play it off.
Oh, no, Sonny. It was worse. He was said, you know, this might work in New York, but, you know, in the Midwest, you know, playing these type of artists in Kansas and
not good
people. Oh my
God. It just kept getting worse. Right. And then there's a piece where I didn't know this part, I guess, you know, Eddie, obviously we know Eddie did a Michael Jackson solo right on Beat It or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they were going to world premiere the video and pull Michael Jackson into this so-called rock station. And then the video they got was Billie Jean. They didn't get Beat It. And they still had to put it on, and then it went viral, right? And then they had no choice.
Yep. Wow.
To play that type of music. Yeah, you're right. The only other thing is, the last thing I wanted to say is, they did give a little bit hint about this in the last couple minutes. They like, now they lost, like MTV is like lost, and they're talking about like that there's nothing because it's something called YouTube. Mm-hmm. And artists don't need you anymore. Any fucking no-name guy can put something on YouTube and that's it. They don't need fucking MTV anymore. Now they're just a regular channel that does programming rather than the go-to place for kids to learn about music. Yep. It's gone.
It's true. Yeah. All right. So for me, so it's October, which means it's Halloween month. And everybody knows if you listen to this that I'm a fan of the horror genre, spooky TV shows, movies, etc. So just dropped this past weekend. We're recording on Sunday, October 11th. So Friday, October 9th, Netflix original series called The Haunting of Bly Manor. If you were a fan of the miniseries that came out back in 2018, The Haunting of Hill House, which was absolutely spectacular, I have not finished Bly Manor yet. It just dropped on Friday. I'm a couple episodes into it. It's terrific. It's atmospheric kind of horror. Very creepy, shadowy, you know, gothic. It takes place in a manor in England. A nanny is taking care of these children. But there were tragedies that happened in the house. this one is 9 parts. I believe The Haunting of Hill House was 10 parts. Same director, some repeating cast members, but the stories don't have anything to do with each other. It's an all new original series. Even if you're not a big horror fan, you know, if you're not into that, this is just terrific. It's that creepy, you know, atmospheric, haunting, just spooky kind of, you know, turn the lights down low, get ready for Halloween and watch it. Unbelievably acted and written. The setting is spectacular. So that is the Haunted on Netflix. Check it out if you're into that kind of stuff.
Wow. And you said it's, is it a limited series?
9 parts. And I think The Haunting of Hill House was, I think that was 10 parts. They're about 45 minute episodes.
But after the 10 parts, that's it. There's not going to be a season.
Correct. Okay. It's a limited series. Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep.
All right. Sounds great.
Yep.
Well, we're at that point, Tom, Sonny, where can people find you? Besides here all the fucking time.
I was just going to say that.
GrownUpRock.com is best place probably to get Growing Up Rock podcast and Podcast Rock City. We are live now every Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern. So Podcast Rock City, Kiss Podcast.
Oh, hurry up. Wrap this up. You got to go.
No, I don't.
Who's next? What happened here?
What happened here?
Where can people find us, Tom?
Well, I don't know. I didn't know
you had to be cued in every time. I didn't know the talent had to be cued in.
See, you got me all flustered here now. So this is where people can find us. You can find us right here. How about that? Now go fuck yourself and go to adamandeve.com.
I am from here.
Yeah.
Did I even tell you about that kid?
I am from US&A.
This is a kid.
Go ahead.
You were in high school and his name was, we're from Boston. We don't pronounce our R's here, as you guys can tell.
Yep.
His name, I think he was like Syrian or Lebanese or something. And his name is spelled F-A-D-I.
Oh no.
How do you say his name?
Fadi.
That's the story. Probably someone's going to tell him now. Right. Find him on social media that knows him. Anyways, and we went out one time with friends, and he got annoyed that, you know, people would laugh that his name was Fadi. And, and we were talking to some girls, and all of a sudden, he's like, hey, what's your name? I'm George. I'm fucking Paul. I'm this and that. What's your name? And all, like, you know, we didn't know this was coming. He goes, my name is Bill. I am from here.
The poor guy didn't want to say his name.
We're like, what the fuck? I don't know what was worse. Is you lying all of a sudden, not saying your name is Fadi? Also, just saying your name is not Bill. It's definitely not Bill. And you are definitely not from here.
I am Bill and I am from here. Oh man. God. Anyways, so Shout It Out Loudcast, if you're listening to the bonus episode for the first time, we are an all Kiss podcast. Episodes drop every Saturday. These non-Kiss bonus episodes drop once a month with Sonny. So you can reach us at email shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com, shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com. As you heard, we like to read your emails on the air. We'll try to respond to them too. We're also on all the social medias, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Twitter's probably the best place to do some really good interaction with us. And our podcast can be heard on all the major platforms. We're part of the Pantheon Podcast Network. So we're on all those big places that you would hear any podcast. And you can also check out our buddy Ed over at Click Tee Shop, Click with a K. He's the one who designed our awesome show logo. And he sells cool Shout It Out Loudcast gear, as well as primarily Kiss-inspired logo gear. shirts, hats, etc. And Ed's a friend of the show. Great guy. So give Ed your business at clickteeshop.com. And we also have a Facebook group, Shout It Out Loudcasters. Join that. It's a fun group. People posting pictures, stories, etc. All Kiss related stuff.
Yeah. So and keep those DMs coming. Mm-hmm. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We appreciate those emails. Shout it out loudcast at gmail.com. The shout it out loudcast at gmail.com emails for the bonus episodes are always great. And as you can tell, we love to read them.
Yep.
So much appreciated there. And don't forget the 5-star child reviews you can give us on Podchaser and on iTunes. If you go on iTunes, you can give us one there. And now we are also on Amazon Music for people. So if you find, and I told people a few times already now that I find that Amazon Music, the interface, whatever you're using there, is easy to navigate. It's very user friendly. So sometimes you might want to check that out to find podcasts on Amazon. It seems like everyone has Amazon Prime, so it's a nice little platform that you could use to listen to podcasts. Anyway, we're at the end, so that comes to famous last words. Sonny, you want to lead us off?
You keep on pushing, babe.
Oh, boy.
Like I've never known before. You know you want it crazy, child. But I just want to see you on the floor.
Oh, boy.
Well, you should have had that fucking ranked higher. I'm banning you from singing this.
You're banned. So keeping with that mood of lyrics. Ooh, panties round your knees with your ass in the breeze. Doing that grind with a push and squeeze. Tied up. Tied down up against the wall. Be my Rubbermaid, baby, and we can do it all.
Should have been used in commercials. I don't know what the hell Rubbermaid was thinking.
I'm trying to think. I'm like, holy shit, when did we do a Kiss album?
Anything goes, baby.
So I really was thinking, I'm like, okay, so we're going to pick something that we haven't picked, right? Yep. But I was going to like, all right, I really want to do my number one song. I was had it all set. It's okay. I had a bad day. All that stuff. Go right down the line of no excuse. I'm like, I can't do that. We got to pick something different. But that's where I would have went. Okay. So instead, what sticks out on this? And I was like, I can't believe none of us did this. From the 105 songs, none of us did this. We certainly talked about this on several podcasts on the bonus episode, not just the one we did for that album. So here goes. In a time when dinosaurs walked the earth, when the land was swamp caves and swamp caves were home, in an age when prized possession was fire, to search for landscapes men would roam.
That is so bad. It's just so bad. When you read it slowly like that, it just makes it even worse.
Oh, fast it was good.
No, that's it. That's the whole thing is just an abomination of a song.
Like that is like in a fucking book that a kid would have in like the fourth grade when he went to like the Museum of Science and he looked about dinosaur bones or something. Are you fucking kidding me?
And that's what I'm telling you is when so I have bad. A choice between that and sex, drug, and rock and roll. Give me tied up, tied down, up against the wall. Be my like. I'd rather much rather hear that.
I think most people would.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Till next time, Sonny, thank you. Tommy, thank you. Kiss Army, thank you.
Guys, thanks so much. Always a great time doing these bonus episodes. This was a fun one. Hope you guys had fun with the number crunching. Sonny, thank you as always.
We apologize for your head hurting. See you soon.
Peace out, Girl Scout.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.